We're returning to the Sefer inside Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph in Eretz HaTorah, page Samach Dalet. Pulas HaTorah V'Hadrachosa. Just by way of Hagdom, it's a very hard Sif Aleph. So, a little bit of Hagdom and then we'll learn it inside. Now we know that the Ovis were able, they were able to keep the mitzvahs before the Torah was given. And there's a great deal that's written about that. How could that be? And Chazal tell us in their remarkable way that how the kidneys, the kloyos of Avraham Avinu were wellsprings of Torah that taught him Torah. The truth is that it's possible for each and every one of us to know the Torah completely without ever hearing it, without ever being taught by a teacher, by a rabbi. One of the giluim of the end of time is La Yilmadu Oid Ish Esri'ehu. That it's not going to be necessary for a person to teach another person. Ki kulam yedu, I see. Everybody's going to know me. What Rav Kook talks about here in Sif Aleph is how it's possible through looking into the pnimiyos of Nishmas Yisrael, of Am Yisrael, it's possible to see all the Dikduke mitzvahs, all the Pratim, all every single detail of mitzvahs can be seen, because Kutshubichu Yisrael V'Arayis Echad, because Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah are one. And therefore, in truth, the Torah in its completeness is inside each and every one of us. And that Torah Sheba'al Peh Befrat, since the Goyim have a Shaykh is the Torah Shebichsav that was given in 70 languages and the nations of the world have a Shaykh is to that. But we know that the Bris, the true and deepest Bris that Hashem has with us through the Torah is Torah Sheba'al Peh. And Torah Sheba'al Peh, Rav Kook explains the entire Torah Sheba'al Peh, and every single detail of Torah Sheba'al Peh, everything, is a bitui, an expression of the teva, of the inner nature of Am Yisrael. And therefore, when a person works hard to be misamek, to go deeply, deeply into the koiches of his own nefesh, to go deeply within himself. Not only does he discover his own essence, his own neshama, but in that same place he discovers Torah Hashem, because it's one and the same. It's one and the same. And when that happens, Rav Kook writes at the end over here that when that happens, there's a hisgalus of Ruach HaKodesh. The person's consciousness becomes open to many, 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 many things beyond that which his eyes can see. It's a hard sif. He's talking about big madragas. But we have a shaykhis to this. He's talking about us. So let's learn. Hagilui haskirosi haruchani hapnibi v'mamake nishmas Yisrael. If there is revealed the deep inner spiritual essence of a Jew, Nishmas Yisrael, is Matzig Lefenenu, is called Torah HaMaisis, Kula B'Siros HaPnimis. When one does that, if one is able to reveal, through looking deeply into the depths of Nishmas Yisrael, then it's Matzig Lefenenu, is called HaTorah HaMaisis Kula B'Siros HaPnimis. Then it reveals the entire Torah. It's called HaTorah HaMaisis Kula. The entire Torah, all the way down to the most practical aspects of Torah. Matzig lefenei is kol ha-Torah ha-Maisis kula b'tzuros ha-Pnimis in its inner and deepest tzura. So what are the tefillin? So we know that we wear the tefillin on the arm, across the heart, and on the mind, on the head. But we also know that all of the mitzvahs I say and lois I say correspond to the body, to the kaima, the form of the person. And that the truth is that there's the tefillin that are worn on the head, and there's the tefillin shabaraish in the head. And the Sfarim tells that the others were able, Mibsarcha Echza Elokim, Echza Eloika, Mibsari Echza Eloika, from my own flesh, by gazing into myself, Echza Eloika, I'm able to see Kivyochel Hashem. Meaning that the deeper, the deeper meaning of Torah Mitzvahs is contained within the person, within the person himself. Mipsari echze eloika. Every part of us corresponds to another part of Torah. And every single cell and every single molecule is connected to something else and some other diyuk in Torah, Shabbal Peh, and so on. So when a person is able to look deeply into Nishmas Yisrael, then he's able to see the Torah as well. That's why we see that in the parasha last Shabbos and this Shabbos, we see that a very, very basic tnai, in Kabbalah Torah, is ki ish echad b'leiv echad. V'ichan sham Yisrael ki ish echad b'leiv echad. Because Nishmas Yisrael can never be separated from the other. If a person sees only himself, then he's not able to see Kol Torah Kuli either. When a person is in a place of Vayichan Sham, Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad, through that Chibur to Nishmas Yisrael, to the Shorish of Yisrael, which is Knesset Yisrael, he's able to see all of Teres Yisrael. If a person is cut off from other Jews, through Katnus and Sinas Chinam and so on, and hatred and jealousy, so if a person is cut off from Nishmas Yisrael, from the totality of Am Yisrael, so then he's not able to see Kol HaTorah Kula. He's not able to really understand Kol HaTorah Kula from within himself, because he's separated from the rest of Klal Yisrael. As we've learned many, many times, all the Isis and all the Parashis of Torah together form the totality of Nishmas Yisrael in that generation, according to the understanding of that generation. And if a person detaches himself from other Jews, so he's detached from the Torah and he's detached from Hashem. So when we came to receive the Torah, it had to be in such a way. Of ki ish echad b'leiv echad. It had to be. It had to be as one person. So again, hagila haskirasi aruchani ha'pnibi ma'amake nishmas is so amatzik b'fin it was kol ha'torah ha'mayis is kul b'tziros ha'pnimis. Ha'ideis. Meaning the deeper meaning of what tefillin are. All the way down to the tiniest little detail in Hilchos Tefillin, to understand the deeper meaning. All of that is contained within Nishmas Yisrael. It's the Teva of Yisrael. We have coded into our neshamas. Kol HaTorah Kulo, all the Dikdukim and all the Pratim of Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shekhsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So therefore, when the others were Megala their Pnimiyas, they were Megala the Torah as well. And they understood. They understood from within their own bodies, within themselves, they understood the Torah. And all the details of Torah. It's Kol HaTorah Ma'isis Kula B'tziros HaPnimiyas HaIdeyas. All the concepts and ideas. Akol Prateha. And all of the Pratim, all of the details. Kol hispashtu shel Torah shebaal peh. Im anfei anafeha. All of the hispashtus, the unbelievable spashtus, spreading forth all of the branches that have grown out of Torah Shebaal Peh, Anfei Anafeh, and the branches of the branches of Torah Shebaal Peh. A huge, huge tree with branches, infinite branches growing out, one from the other, from the other. All of the protum of Torah Shebaal Peh. Kol espashus al Torah Shebaal Peh im anfei anafer, kulam ke'echad, all of them together, chayei ha'uma heim atzman. Chayei ha'uma heim atzman. It's the life of the nation itself. It's Am Yisrael. Hanoivim mimoker elyon, that all flow from one mokar, from the same makar, from the same source, hanoivim mimoker elyon, umchutavim mechativa esana, and are bound together into one unit, in a powerful oneness. And through the great impression of the soul being revealed, of the inner soul being revealed, one reaches higher and higher levels, and progress higher and higher, madregas hayonis shel ruach hakodesh holchus mizgalus, to the point that madregas, great exalted madregas of Ruach HaKodesh, are revealed. Hakol lefi hashkida shel haTorah ma'asim haTovim. All according to how much effort the person puts into learning and his ma'asim haTovim, ilu hamidas, working on one's midas, v'ha'ha'orah shel hadveikas elokis b'ruach da'as elyon. The illumination that comes with the Devekis to Hashem, Ruach Da'as Elyon. And that Ruach of Da'as Elyon, of the highest Da'as of Hashem. Okay. What's that to say? Base. Whatever that was, Rav Kook was living with it. And there are certain times that it's just to try to read the words. But Siv Beis is talking to us. It's talking directly to us. And Rav Kook descends from a very, very high place, and he turns to us. This Siv Beis, we've learned before. I spoke about it this past Shabbos Shuv a little bit. Now the connection to Sif Aleph just is that Sif Aleph is telling us that the pnimius of a Jew is called Torah Kula. The inner essence of a Jew is Hashem. Is this Das Elyon, Ruach HaKodesh, and the entire Torah from the beginning to end, with all this Spashtus and all the Anofim, the Anfei Anofim, everything is inside of us. So the problem is not that we're not equipped to be great people. We have all that's necessary to be, each and every one of us is equipped to become the greatest, greatest, greatest. Each one of us. The problem Rav Kook begins with in Seif Beis is our lack of emunah, our lack of faith. And he's not speaking here about a lack of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the lack of emunah in oneself, not believing in what we just read about in Seif Aleph, not believing that all that stuff is inside. And looking at ourselves and imagining ourselves to be like other people. Just that we're like other people, just that we have Torah mitzvahs. Zinin v'lo tamin b'cheyecha. Not to believe in the essence of one's life. So Cook writes in Siv Beis, Ha'odam ha'yosher tzarech lahamin b'chayev. Ha'odam ha'yosher tzarech lahamin b'chayev. Person who tries to live according to the Torah in an upright, good way. Ha'odam ha'yosher. Tzarech lahamin b'chayev. He has to believe in his life. This sif is very, very deeply rooted in all the Sfarim HaKadoshim. Ha'odam ha'yosher tzarech lahamin b'chayev. All these beautiful things that we read about the neshama have no practical bearing upon the life of a person who doesn't believe in, who doesn't believe that he possesses such a neshama, who doesn't believe that his life is extraordinary, that his life is extraordinary. A one-time hisgalus of Nishmas Yisrael in that guf, in that particular time. Ha'odam ha'yosher tzarech lahamin b'chayev. And Ha'odam ha'yosher tzarech lahamin b'chayev has to believe in his life. What does that mean, to believe in his life? He's alive. Klei m'shiyamin b'chayei atzmai. Everybody believes in somebody else's life. So you believe in the life of the tzaddik, and you believe that the tzaddik, that he lives that life, but to believe in one's own, to believe in one's own life, Rav Kook says is much harder. Klemi sheyamin b'chayi atzmai, to believe in the life of himself, v'hagishoisov, and his own emotions and feelings. Ha'holchos b'derech yisharim yisoid nafshay, that go, that flow from, in a straight path, from the essence of his soul. Shem toivim v'yisharim, to believe that these emotions are be'etzem good, v'yisharim, and upright and straight. V'shehem olichim b'derech yisharim, that they're going in a straight path, and they could lead this person in a straight path. He doesn't have to be anybody else. He doesn't have to impersonate. He doesn't have to imitate. He doesn't have to be envious of anybody else's ruchnius. He has to believe in himself. He has to believe that his own emotions, as long as he's trying to live a way of Torah mitzvahs, Adam HaYosha, he has to believe that his own emotions are coming from a source of holiness. Now, on one's own without Torah, it's impossible. The ikkar is believing in one's own life. HaTorah tzricha shetia ner l'raglo. He must use the Torah as a candle. He must use the Torah as a candle in order to be able to shed light on his path. Sha'al yoda yira as hamokim shesham hatos alula. That through Torah, through halacha, and learning more and more Torah, a person is able to see how sometimes in life, in the course of life, He's been distracted and he veered a little bit off his road. He left that path, that mesila yishara, that straight path. He got a little bit fablonged from his path. One has to align himself with Torah. The ikkar is to believe in the essence of oneself and the righteousness and the holiness of one's own thoughts and one's own emotions, using the Torah as a lamp, as a guide, to indicate whether you are going in the right way or chalila you're straying or you're going away from that path of who you are. Shayoda Yiras Hamokim Shesham HaTorus Alula, when that light of Torah is shining, he can see that this is a pit that I've fallen into. This is a mistake that I've made. I've gotten off course. I have to return. Shalapamim Tesa Hanefesh Besayu Leidarach. Sometimes the soul, the nefesh, doesn't mean the neshama, but sometimes in life a person gets fadreit, he gets lost. The sohu Leidarach. In the emptiness, in tohu, loy darach, it's not a derach, it's not a mahalach. But what's remarkable here is that Rav Kook speaks of the Torah as that which is to help a person and guide a person, but the ikr is the Torah's ha'adam. The ikkar is that Torah that's within the self that he was talking about in Sif Aleph. That Torah that we were taught by the Malach inside of our mothers. That is that individual's own unique, his own unique path in serving Hashem in this world that we spoke so much about in Aris HaTorah and Aris HaTshuva over the years. That individual's own unique path of who he is and how he is to serve Hashem. And to believe that the nature that he has received is that with which he can, and only with that, can he become who he has to become truly great. We'll talk about that in Mitzvah Shabbos a little bit. It's the Inyan of Parshas Shkolim, which we'll talk about. And the Torah is there to help us remain on course. And anything that's against halacha, is a sermon that a person has gotten off course. And as we learned earlier, and Rav Kook speaks about throughout the Sefer, there are those who are more connected to a particular path of Torah. And ha'odam yeshu tzarech lahamin b'chayiv. Even when it comes to, as he says, his own hergeshim, his own intuition, his own emotions and intuitions, to believe him. Not to see himself as somebody that's essentially off, that's essentially evil. The fact that he has a temper, or that he has a mida of laziness, or whatever else it might be. These are things that need to be refined. But not to be somebody different, but to be refined. These are his kalim that Hashem gave him. And he has to believe that with these kalim, and refining these kalim, and tempering them, and using them the right way, he's going to achieve his ultimate tachlis. Not by trying to be somebody different. That's not how you're going to get there. That's not how you're going to reach that. It can't come in such a way. And therefore he writes, "Avol ha'maimid ha'tmidi, tzarech lios ha'bitochen ha'nafshi." So the Torah is there to check ourselves, to make sure that we're on the right path. And halacha, everything, the right way. But the maimid ha'tmidi, but the continuous. The maimon hatmidi, but the ikar hat and the maimon hatmidi, that's which is continuous, that maimon that which sustains the person constantly, tzarech lios habitochen hanafshi, must be trust and belief in one's own soul. Ha'maimon hatmidi tzarech lios habitochen hanafshi. Therefore, let's say, I'm not talking about halacha. Halacha, we all have to keep everything, 1,000%. But sometimes there's a certain chumrah that doesn't reach a person. not something that he's required to do. I'm not talking about something that's required. According to Allah, that you can't say chas v'shalom. It doesn't appeal to me. Because then that means you're off the road. But on the road, along the way, throughout the long history of Am Yisrael, there have been different hanhagis and different chumras. I'm not talking about minhagim that are universally kept, or kept by certain kehilas, and you're part of that kehila. I'm talking about mostly when it comes to hanhagis of certain chumras. And you see that this stringency, which is not a requirement, that this stringency is something that helps another person get closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and grow more and more in Avodas Hashem. And you try to adapt, you try to use that in your life, and you find that it brings you further and further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't bring you closer. That means that it's not part of your wiring. I'm not talking about Shabbos and Tefillin and so on. We're talking, when it comes to a Derech HaLimud, a certain way of learning Torah, which we spoke a lot about in the first part of the Sefer, a certain way of learning, that something that the Shorash of who you are is connected to a certain way of learning, you have to go with that. Other people, they find their Hatzlach in a different Derech HaLimud, and they tell you that this is the only true path in learning, run away from those people. Don't listen to what they're saying. That's his path, that's not your path. That's his. When it comes to stringency, certain chumras in Avaida that might work for certain people because it's connected to the shorish of that person's neshama, you could try that, but it doesn't necessarily work for you. People who don't have strong emuna in themselves, they're in the habit of constantly imitating others. Trying to imitate everybody else's chumras and so on. They lack, not their true nature, but the adapted nature, they lack a confidence. They lack a certain confidence in who they are. And therefore they're constantly looking to see what other people are doing, which is important to learn from people. And they're all Mekomalamba Hiskalti. And it's wonderful to try to learn, not talking about information, but hanhagis and ways. And when we learn a sefer, any sefer. But we already learned a lot from Rav Kook, he says that even when you're learning Sfarim, that you have to be careful. The fact that something is fascinating and something is beautiful and inspiring doesn't necessarily mean that is who you are. And one has to be careful to know when to take something in, when to leave something out. And when you take something in and it's not helping, it's not working, not to be stubborn and to hold on to it, to be able to go weiter, to go further. But a person who has confidence in the essence of himself that he's good, that he's good and that he's kind and that he's Dovuk Tashem in the pnimius of who he is. He doesn't have to spend his entire life looking by Yenim to see and to take and to... And he's able to see that there's a certain chumra that for some people it's a gewaldige thing and it's terrific, and he's able to look and to laugh and to say, it's not... Let them enjoy it, it's not for me. It doesn't do anything for me. Sometimes you have certain neshamas that they have a shaykhis to the union of tcheilas. They have tcheilas by the tzitzis. There are some people within whom that's like a burning union to have tcheilas. I'm not talking about girls. To have tcheilas by the tzitzis. If a girl has that, then that's a different problem. That there's an union to have tcheilas by the tzitzis now, in these days, to have tcheilas by the tzitzis. There are some people that have such an union. Where does that come from? It could be that it comes from the shorish of who they are. That's a very, very, very deep and mysterious thing. I'm not talking again if somebody comes from a certain background with a hanhaga by Gadzin and other, and certain by Breslov and a certain, but to have such hanhagas. then you have a person that stam, it looks like it's, you know, I have to wear the same tzitzis as every other Jew. That's not really fun. I want to do something special, and it looks really, really nice, you know. So to start with the tchelis, and all of a sudden you have widespread tchelis, and then you start wearing tchelis. It needs all kinds of bedikas and drishas and chakiris. It's just an example. I'm not talking in the halacha where that comes from, the inyan of tchelis and the hesaris before Mashiach comes, such an inyan. There is, of course, a very big inyan in Kedusha. But I can only say that for me it never, ever, ever resonated at all. Bechlal not. I'm just looking forward to Mashiach coming and putting on tchelis and doing things when Mashiach comes. That particular thing never ever spoke to me at all. When someone comes to me and says, what do you think I should wear tchelis? I say, I don't know. You have to see. Did you learn the Indian? Do you feel, how deeply do you feel connected to the Indian? And what, you know. But once they start selling it in all the stores and people are going and it's a cool thing to do, to shop for tchelis, then everybody, it's like, on a deeper level, of course, that goes way beyond something like the tchelis, and it goes to what a person should be doing with his life. What a person should be doing with his life. Is the shirish of every single person, mushrish, every single male, that he should be learning Torah all day long? Of course not. That's not how Klai Yisrael was made. For some people, that is, and for other people, it's not. Limud HaTorah is for everybody, but not Kol HaYom, not Kol HaYom Kulay. And it was never such an inyan within Klai Yisrael that every single person is expected to live that way. It was never, ever in our history such a thing. And therefore, we find that there are people who are lacking in confidence, and due to the strength of the system that they find themselves in, they're not able to say that this is not for me. This is not for me. My inyan is to learn, like my grandfather did, an hour or two in the morning, an hour or two at night, to go to work and to support my family and other Jews in a very honorable way. Maybe such an inyan. But a person who doesn't have bitachon in himself, who doesn't believe in his own life, and doesn't trust his own emotions, so he's constantly fishing for what everybody else is doing. What's bayanim? And he always wants to follow some kind of a mob. And he has to belong to some sort of a big thing, and he's careful that not in the slightest way to be different from anybody else. Which there's kedusha in that as well. Of course there is. But the tachlis of one's life, to come to what Rav Kook was talking about in Sif Aleph, and to get to that place of Ruach HaKodesh and Gilui HaNeshama, so I'm just going to remind you of what the Koska said, that if I am I and you are you, then I am I and you are you, but if I am you and you are me, then I'm not I and you're not you. That's somebody else, it's not you. It's simply not you. And how long does one try? So it's an interesting thing. Hilchas Talmud Torah, there are certain ways of measuring whether you're seeing Hatzlach in Torah. It's Hilchas Talmud Torah. Of whether a person is Matzlich in that Indian. And it's mind-boggling how many people just keep on going, despite the fact that it has not worked for them. And you have that with everything. Different things in Yiddishkeit. The Ikir is Abitochen HaNafshi. Binyamin?
As you guys already spoke about, in the Kumras and Yarach HaLimud, what about on the other side of the Kumra spectrum, that not going against Halacha, but relying on minority opinions, that, let's say, it's a minority opinion, so I mean, like, you know, Halacha is probably better not
to be Makel, you say?
If you make on something based on a minority opinion, because, you know, it somehow fits into one of those things that a person feels would be more matching to himself to do something. They want to rely on certain coolness. So it's a little on the other end of the
I understand. Concept. It requires a very, very great Shikul Hadas. It's an important question. It has a lot to do with certain discussion in Halacha. Obviously, the issue of picking and choosing Chumras and Kulas and this Posek and that Posek is not Poshek. But sometimes within a certain person's life and within the life of his family, a certain path is healthier for that individual and that family, a certain mahalach, even though it's not necessarily following the consensus as long as it's connected to a legitimate minority view, and it has been discussed with a competent person, a posek, to determine that this is a legitimate, that this is a legitimate view. So then, that individual or that family needs to go in that way, and if that same individual would try to force himself or his family into the more mainstream consensus view, it might cause a short-term upgrade and improvement in their Yiddishkeit, but long-term it can cause a terrible, terrible shirus akela. It can cause a terrible shirus akela. Should we see? Which is a very common thing. So it always requires shikla das and speaking to a person who's a bal seichel, someone who sees kol Torah kula, not someone who just sees the pratim, but someone who has a big, big, big view of kol Torah kula and understands this person, understands the family situation. So you'll have Lamashal. I'll give you an example of something that you're talking about, because it's a very important question. Now, but we'll continue. But it's a very important question. I'll give you an example. A woman covering her hair inside her home. Inside the house. Without any other men, obviously, being there. Inside the home. Now, we know that the Chavetz Chaim is very strong with this. Mishnah Berurah is very strong. The Zohar Kaddish uses such lashonis that if anybody ever saw them, the hair would stand. Such strong lashonis. It's about covering the hair inside the house. Can one say that if a Jewish woman does not cover her hair in the house, that she's chalila michutz, that she's outside of living a life of halacha? You'll find some later days from the talk that way. You'll find some things like that. But they're not being honest if they talk that way. Sof kol sof, the Chasam Sofer, the Zohar Kaddish, the Mishnah Berurah, that there are other minority views that are not going with that. Everybody agrees it's an ideal. It's an ideal that the woman should cover her hair in the house. Everybody agrees that it's an ideal. But to say that it's absolutely required according to halacha, it's not so posh to say such a thing. It's not clear like that. Yesh v'yesh. Yesh v'yesh. So a posek would have to know, if you have a situation which comes up very often, where the husband is very upset, that he learned the Mishnah Berurah, and he understands that there's the right way, and the husband, let's say, is somebody who's trying to grow in pneumis, and his wife does not want to cover the hair. I'm not talking about if she doesn't cover the hair, b'chlal. That's a different level of the problem. That's mainstream halacha. I'm talking about, that's halacha, that's without any argument. I'm talking about within the house. So then it has to be a posek that sees the bigger picture of the family, that understands who these people are, where they're coming from. And then can there be a minority view to hold on to? Yeah. And there could be that's something that family needs, and that the husband would have to be told, in the meantime, this is what's right for your family. Now somebody else that he'll talk to, he'll go to a certain place, and they'll tell me, you're a sheikh, it's not because I can't eat in your house, your wife is a nevela, I'm not allowed to touch what she does in the Shabbos kitchen, can't be trusted if she doesn't. You'll have people like that. So most people wrote some of those from. That you'll see. With all kinds of strong language. Rav Moshe Feinstein never spoke that way. Rav Moshe Feinstein never, ever spoke that way. Rav Moshe always spoke with Nesimus, presenting the argument and the discussion. And as long as something was within the confines of halacha, Rav Moshe never, ever spoke down and negatively. He presented the issues. The Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, never ever spoke in such a way. Never ever spoke in such a way. Again, present the issues. This is the main, this is halacha, this is already more Kabbalah Indian, something else. What works for one person doesn't work for another person. You can't say that this person, God forbid, is off the derech of Yiddishkeit if they're not doing this. Then you look at other Sfarim, let's say that the person listening is an Apikaris, is a Rosh, a Marusha, and so on and so forth, and, you know, all these little shyness. Like when it comes to in Hilchas Deis, things like this, you know, especially when it comes to Ashkofis and Deis, they make the person like he's an Apikaris. If somebody says Halal on Yom HaTzmut, he's an Apikaris. And if you don't say Halal on Yom HaTzmut, you're an Apikaris. So I guess everybody's an Apikaris. See, everybody either says or doesn't say. Right? Every Jew in the world either says on Yom HaTzmut Halal, or he doesn't say Yom HaTzmut. How on Yom HaTzmut? So either he's according to some data, everybody's not Apikaris. What? Chatzi Halal. Half an Apikaris. So everybody's not Apikaris. You have people that talk that way. But he's not Apikaris. He says Halal. His Halal and all the tzaddikim signed letters and Nimnu v'gamru, all the tzaddikim, the last generation signed letters that anybody that says Halal on Yom HaTzmut is a shegetz. He's not Apikaris. He's not part of Klal Yisrael. And this caused the Halal cause. All these things. Then you find from the other side, the guys are saying, the Chevra is saying, that anybody doesn't believe in this Indian, it doesn't say Halal on Yom HaTzmut, he doesn't have the shaychus to Nishmas Yisrael. He doesn't know what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael. He hates Umas Yisrael. There's another God that said such a lashon. He hates Umas Yisrael. He hates the Jewish nation because he doesn't believe in them. So everybody is like this. These lashonos, these kind of lashonos, can confuse people and can scare them away from their path. It could scare them away from their path. You'll have sometimes you have a Jew who has in his the sharish of this individual is the Indian, let's say, of moving to Eretz Yisrael. It's in the sharish of who he is. Living in Eretz Yisrael, moving to Eretz Yisrael is a machlokes rishonim, whether there's chiyuv d'oraisa b'zman hazeh, right? It's a machlokes rishonim. Tefillin, there's no machlokes. Moving to Eretz Yisrael is a machlokes rishonim. Fine. Living in Eretz Yisrael, according to most rishonim, is a kiyum of a d'oraisa. Fine. That Inyan of Eretz Yisrael, for a person who has a very deep sheresh in the Inyan of Eretz Yisrael, it resonates very, very deeply. And such a person almost has to move to Eretz Yisrael. If he doesn't, he's a tzebrach and a keli. It's hard for him to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. He can't be a Jew. He doesn't feel that he could breathe as a Jew outside of Eretz Yisrael. All of his mitzvahs are like dim. His whole davening is not going. Then you have another Yid. Then he doesn't have such an Inyan like that. His and you could be Shabbos. And he feels that Shabbos, everything in his life is Shabbos. You put these two people together in a room. And this guy is yelling, how come you don't move? Why don't you not move? I already signed up. I'm with Nefesh B'Nefesh. And I already bought my place there. And my kids are already enrolled and registered in the school. Usually these people talk like that for many years. But I'm going to HSL. I'm going to HSL. And how could you not even be? And the guy said, I don't know, stop. I don't feel that. I feel happy where I am. I feel happy. Meaning, I understand that I believe in the destiny of Am Yisrael, and I'm looking forward to the day when we're all going to return. But this by me, okay? That's not burning in me that I have to go. I went to Eretz Yisrael a few times. I don't feel it so much. I don't feel it. I love going, I love visiting, I cry by the Mekomis Gedoshim, but I want to go home, I want to go back to New York, it's not, or I would go back to Baltimore, to Los Angeles, it doesn't, I don't feel that that works for me over there. So you have this, are you going to say to such a person, he's a shaykh, he's not because, you find people that talk that way. You don't have a connection to Am Yisrael, because the only reality of Am Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, and if you don't feel a connection to Eretz Yisrael, then you're not really part of Am Yisrael. So you get a person who doesn't have confidence in himself. He starts to say, "Oh boy, what's that Nefesh B'Nefesh number? I better give them a call. I don't know. You're saying I'm not really a Jew. If I live in Chutzlatz, I'm not really a Jew." And the person, every time you talk to them, that's all they talk about, which is wonderful, and they should go already. I told this one rabbi, I said, how many years? For 40 years, you're hacking your oil about Eretz Yisrael. When are you going already? She says, tell me. Well, it's hard for him because he has one of the grandchildren. So I said, okay. So then it's not burning in you. A person that is burning in Be'emes, he can't live here. There are people I know like that. And when you talk to a person like that, you say, get the next plane, get out of here. This is not your place. You can't live in Chutz Lars. There are Jews that can't live in Chutz Lars. Then there are Jews who can live in Chutz Laaretz for 40 years, but they can't live without talking about being in Eretz Yisrael. That's a different madrega. That's a different madrega. But they can live in Chutz Laaretz. They can live very nicely in Chutz Laaretz. This is not a yesod of Yiddishkeit. Again, the person, the Eretz Yisrael person will tell you, it's not a yesod of Yiddishkeit. What do you mean? I saw in the Sefer, not Sefer, it said that without this, it's not Yiddishkeit. All these son, they talk, all these people, they talk that way. Yes. Don't get fahitz from these people and these swan. That's it. Yamin b'chayi atzmai. Believe in yourself. Rabbi Yosef ben Soloveitchik, who a lot of these people are always quoting, Rabbi Yosef ben Soloveitchik himself said, if you're Yiddish, can't just be in Chutz Laaretz, stay in Chutz Laaretz. He said it all the time. If you're Yiddish, can't just be in Chutz Laaretz. But then you said that to a person who's an Eretz Yisrael dicker. Oh, he's burning with Eretz Yisrael. He'll start to quote to you. It says in the Gemara and Ksubas, and says here, and says there. And I saw like this and like that. And the Vilna Gaon himself said, and this one said, and they'll tell you all kinds of terrors that make you into the biggest rusher for living in Chutz Laaretz. I have a letter from a dear friend in Eretz Yisrael, who lives in Eretz Yisrael. He wrote me like 3 years ago, a whole thing, 5 pages, telling me the rishus that of living in Chutz Laaretz. And he doesn't know how I can continue living in Chutz Laaretz. I have to come to Eretz Yisrael. And I'm the biggest hypocrite in the world for living in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. I talk to Jews about reaching Madregis and Avodas Hashem. That's what I'm talking about, reaching Avodas Hashem. And the Iker of Avodas Hashem is living in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm in Chutz Laaretz telling Jews to be better Jews. And I'm the biggest hypocrite because to be a better Jew, you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. So you know what I wrote back to him? I wrote back, Shkayach, I love you. That's your inyan, and this is my inyan. This is your ma'aser, and this is my ma'aser. That's his ma'aser. He's writing to me his autobiography. It's just beautiful. I enjoy it, and I admire that. That's not my autobiography. That's his autobiography. And when you're missing that emunah b'chayi atzmai, so when it comes to things, again, I'm not talking about Shabbos and Tefillin, but when it comes to things that are not clear, okay, give that example. Things that are not clear. So then you have to be careful to believe in yourself and who you are. And that's why if you go to an Adam Gadol is like, that's why I said about Rav Moshe or Shlomo Zalman, all of them, these great, great, great people, they saw the whole picture of who you are. They didn't answer according to what's burning inside of them. They answered according to who you are and halacha, be seeing all of halacha in a clear way. What's a din? What's a chumrah? What's a hanhaga? The rabbanim, the raisa, the whole picture of life. When you go to a certain person who's only sitting in one thing, so he can't see outside of that. And if you are learning with a person like that, or if you have a rebbe like that, and so on and so forth, and you don't have confidence, then it can push you into a corner. It could push you into a corner that and you don't have confidence and you think this is what you have to do. So you have these girls that they go to the seminary in SSL and they have the teachers that are teaching seminaries, most of the ladies, the men are not such kind, but most of the ladies there, they decided that they wanted to live a certain kind of a life and that appeals to them. They want to be kollel wives. As long as they have relatives in America or send a check every now and then. They want to be kollel wives. And that's beautiful for them. And they want to live lives of pashtus and dachkus and deprivation and to live in a little apartment someplace in Kiryat Sefer and Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, kol hakavod. We love them and we admire them there. But to give talks that every little girl that grew up in Back Lawrence should start to wonder whether or not her parents are totally off. And to start to think that maybe I was meant to live like that, and that unless I marry somebody who's learning for the next 20 years, then God doesn't love me. That's a very, very, very dangerous thing. But this is being sold wholesale, lock, stock, and barrel, wholesale. Those girls who don't have strong belief in themselves, for them, for some, that's the right thing. And even and that could be for that girl in Back Lawrence also. That's the right thing. And it breaks through something and she can come to herself and she can reach that madrega and live that life. Beautiful. But then you have another one that it's not for her at all. She's supposed to be just a nice firm woman, and to have a balabatish, a house, and to raise a family. Doesn't have to be in Dak Lars, could be regular Lars. But to have a regular life. Regular meaning, okay, that's not for her. But she doesn't have, and she's hearing 100 shmuzim, and the shmuzim are very strong about how this is what the Chazanish said, and this is what the Stiklis said, and anybody who's not like this is like this and is like that, and is not truly living up to her potential. Like my daughters all came back with this stuff and showed me, and were telling me over the phone, the speeches that they were getting. They were giving wholesale speeches to hundreds of girls. Ke'ilu, that's the only Derek and Klai Yisrael. So if a person does not have emuna b'chaye atzmo, they can go for that, and they can ruin their lives. They can marry the wrong kind of husband. They can enter into life that's totally not for. This happens all the time. I'm dealing with these situations. I'm dealing with the fallout of this all the time. the sweet little girls that took down all the notes and said, yes, that's me. And it's not. But then how could I be a true, real, wonderful Jewish woman if I'm not following what they said? The Teretz is. Because that's not a din. That's not a halacha to be that way. It's a mahalach in Klal Yisrael. It's not a din. Whatever they told you about not turning on lights on Shabbos, that you have to do. Whether you live in Back Lawrence, you live in Mongolia, you're not turning on lights on Shabbos. But what they're telling you about Hashkafas Achaim and a mahalach in life, yesh v'yesh, elu v'elu, devilikim chayim. What reached that teacher and brought out her godless and what she wants to do in life, that's not necessarily who you are. You can listen to it and hear it, and if it's something which you see breaks through and it burns inside of you and you look into it deeply, and it's something which, then it could very well be that's who you are, and then the teacher was successful in getting to that part of you. That's good. But for many, that's not what it is. And they only start to find out about that later on. Or the guy that was told all of that stuff about staying and learning for years and years and years, and now he's 28 years old, he has 6 kids, and he doesn't have a parnasa. And he hasn't really been learning seriously for the past 5 years. And he shows up, but he hasn't been doing serious learning for the past 5 years. And now he's 28, he's got a family, he doesn't have a parnasa. Help! His father already spent all the money on him the earlier years. Doesn't have anything else to fall back on. What am I going to do now? So, what's he supposed to do? He doesn't have a living. The last 4 or 5 years, he hasn't really been learning. He goes, everybody learns a little bit, but he hasn't really been. That's not his life. He doesn't feel a connection to going. Some of these guys end up in chinuch and become the worst teachers because they don't really want to teach. But what are they going to do by default? They have to make a living. The 28 years old, they don't have any parnasa. The wife already says enough is already enough. And they don't have a parnasa. So what are they going to do? Somebody wanted to send me a picture that they were going to, the bus was coming to pick up in a neighborhood where most of the men are learning in Kailo. There was a bus that was going to pick up the kids. And the person, I should have taken a picture, that what he saw was like this. He saw men, 2 or 3, there's like a whole big apartment thing with women. 2 or 3 of the men were coming to the door and standing by windows in pajamas. And the women were downstairs, all dressed, holding a baby, trying to get a child onto a bus, while the men were standing in pajamas, waving. Bye. Have a nice day, sweetheart. The men were waving from the window in their pajamas. I wish there'd be a picture taken of that and to splash it all over, whatever it's called, the YouTube and Yahoo, whatever that is, all over. Of course, whoever sent the picture would be branded as what? As the biggest Russia in Klal Yisrael. As the biggest villain in Klal Yisrael. Guys standing around in their pajamas waving goodbyes while their wives are holding a bunch of kids and trying to do this, and after she gets the kid onto the bus, she's going to go to work so that hubby can get out of his pajamas and get to a minyan at 9:30. Hubby. That's not what Rav Aaron Cutler meant. That's not what the Chazanish was talking about. and it's not for everybody. That hubby should have been a minion at 6 o'clock, and should have been at some job at 8 o'clock, so his wife would have a normal life. He's standing there in pajamas, kissing his family goodbye. Chances are, I'm going to go back to get a little bit schluff. You know, it's hard. It's already 8 o'clock, you know. 8 o'clock is still, he's up to only his fifth REM. He's got to get back into the pillow a little bit, because there's a minion, you know, 9:15, 9:30. And even that minion doesn't show up on time. In his pajamas at the window, waving goodbye to his kids. In the whole history of our nation, has there ever been such a tzura of life? That men are standing there in pajamas, waving goodbye to their families. And the wife is going like that, with everything, trying to get everything together, to make the breakfast, do this and that. And then she has to remind her husband, don't forget to pick up Yankee at 12 o'clock. He has a doctor's appointment. The wife has to say, because she's going, don't forget to pick up Yankee at 12 o'clock. And on the way back home, stop by the McColton and get a bottle of milk to her husband. They should pick up a bottle of milk on his way back from taking Yankee to the doctor while she goes to work. This is for everybody. This is such a way of life. But if a person is missing the most basic bitachon atzmi, emuna b'chayi atzmai, he is the shmuzin, and that's it. He goes for it. Might not be for him. Then you have the others who, of course, it is for them. The ones who it is for, they're not standing in their pajamas at 8:30 in the morning. The ones who it really is for, they're not there in their pajamas. They were ready with davening 2 hours ago. And they figure out a different way to get milk in that family, as we somehow managed for thousands of years to pick up milk. Not that the husband has to go pick up milk in the middle of the day or something. He's at work. What if the husband would be at work? If he was at any other job, he'd have to come at a certain time. He couldn't come at 9:30. He gets the milk the night before when he comes home. After a hard day, it could be 11 o'clock at night. He figures out how to get milk someplace, and they work it out how to get milk. Not that he has to rub his eyes at 9 o'clock in the morning and go to daven at 9:15 and get a milk davening at 20 to 10. He's already in the makolat. Not that this chas v'shalom is the whole picture of Klai Yisrael, but for those who don't believe in themselves, they could very easily end up in a miserable life. God forbid. That's what Rav Kook is talking about. Emuna b'chayi nafsho. We'll continue Mishnah next.